desire and interest in your prayers this morning. As we look into the Word of God, very thankful for the faithfulness of the Lord this morning, that we can trust Him and for His faithfulness in every area of life. I'd like to speak to you this morning by the help of the Lord, bring a message on a more sure word of prophecy. If you will turn with me to the book of 2 Peter in the first chapter. Second Peter chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 16. Peter was speaking here and he said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Thank the Lord for that. He went on to say, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And the voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake it as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Thank God. I am so thankful this morning that we have a more sure word of prophecy. I would hate to give my life to something, give up a job, give up the things of this world for a cause, and get to the end of life and find out that it was empty. It was in vain. There wasn't anything there. I think about Peter, and when he talked about a more sure word of prophecy, he started out saying this, that they were, he said, "Take heed." Rather, verse 16 we're looking at. He said, "We've not followed cunningly devised fables." There's a lot of people that are following fables today. There's a lot of religions today. There's a lot of organizations of men. There's a lot of philosophies. There's a lot of ideologies that people are pursuing, and they believe them. And so Peter is reminding them, we're not here just purporting some other ideology, some other fable that someone came up with. And I think about how Peter, his mind must have gone back to when he was a boy, very possibly going into the synagogues and hearing the rabbis speak and teach about the prophecies of the Messiah. Going back to the Zechariah and to Isaiah and to Micah and reading the prophecies of Christ. And they were looking forward to something to come. They were looking forward to another day. But what Peter was saying here is, we have not just followed devised fables which we've made known unto you, the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but we were what? We were eyewitnesses. We saw Him for ourselves. We not only heard about the prophecy, we not only read about the prophecy, but we saw the Messiah, and we know that it was the Messiah. And so we're not just telling you something we heard about. This is something that is real, and this is something that is true. I knew someone years ago, and they have passed on now, but they were always pursuing riches. They were always pursuing the next hot thing on the market. They were always pursuing, and I know there's fads that come, and people get in this multi-market level marketing and multi-level marketing and all of this stuff, and always in pursuit of riches. always in pursuit, even to the point that as he was approaching death, he told me that after he died, there was going to be all this money that was coming in. And he wanted to give a large amount to the mission work. And this is years ago, and I'm still waiting. You see, those things that he was pursuing, and I say that facetiously, those things that he was pursuing were in vain. They were idle, they were fables. It was idle talk. It was in pursuit of something. It was a dream. It was a pipe dream. It was something that never came to pass. And yet that's what motivated his decisions in life. Was it, this one's going to work. And well, that doesn't. But there's something else that's going to work. Even till the time he came up to death. Is that what we want to do here this morning? Do we want to follow something that many of you have been raised hearing truth, and some of you maybe this is new to you? Are we wanting to give our lives for something that we're going to find out at the end? It was just a fable. It was just another group of people. It was just another way to live life. It was another culture. It was another group that had some traditions. And we get to in the end of life and say it was in vain. May I share with you, as Peter did this morning, that we follow something so much more than something that man has concocted. We are not following just fables and ideologies of men this morning. Peter said here that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, because it's true. The scripture says the fool has said in his heart, there's what? There's no God. That the fool has said that. Do you realize when I look at the world and I assess there, because there's new ideology all the time. They have new ways to raise your children. Do you know when I see a way that works, I want to know about it. If there's something that the world has that will truly bring peace, if it would truly bring peace to men's soul, I'm going to have to reassess some things. But do you realize it's not coming to pass? The world is offering. That's the deception of sin this morning, is it offers what it can't fulfill. That's the deception of it. And so the world is trying to make us feel like the fool this morning. They're trying to make us feel like we're foolish in saying this is a better way. This is a better perspective. But I look at the world and I don't see it working for them. I don't see stronger marriages. I don't see better relationships. I don't see world peace. I don't see it doing what they're purporting it to do. But there is something in Jesus Christ that I have found that works this morning. And I am so thankful for the prophecies. But when I read something in the Bible, I know this works because I've tried it. And when someone says, why do you live like you do? Why do you believe? Yes, we can go to the Word of God because that is our foundation this morning. But we know it's good because it is working in lives still today. And that's what Peter was saying, is we're not following fables now. We've read about it in the prophecies, but I want to tell you, I was an eyewitness of this thing. And I have seen it for myself. Have you seen it this morning? Have you experienced it when people ask you the hope that is in you? You can say, the Lord saved me from my sin. I don't just read about it in the scripture. That's what drew me. But I found that God has done something in my life that I can't do for myself. I found the Lord lifted me up when I couldn't get up. I found the Lord forgave me of something, and He gave me peace even in the storms of life. And how is that possible? I can tell you, it's nothing the world did for me, but it was something divine from Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what Peter was reminding them of. We're giving our life for something that's real. And I've seen it, and it works, thank the Lord. And that is the reason why as well that Paul said over in 1 Corinthians in the second chapter, he said, my speech and my preaching was not with what? Remember? Enticing words of what? Men's wisdom. My preaching and my teaching, it wasn't with the things of this world. It wasn't with the education and what the philosophers and the psychologists have come up with. That's not what I'm sharing with you, Paul in essence was saying. But he said, when with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is real this morning. I remember years ago, and I just want to, this is a personal little testimony here, but in the ministry, and those of you that minister, you will understand what I'm saying. You encounter a lot of things in people's lives. There's lots of trouble, and there's lots of situations, and sometimes you can feel so unequipped. And so it's, well, Lord, do we need to get some training or education in this area? Or Lord, do I need, you know what the Lord let me know? I didn't call you to be a psychologist. I didn't call you to be a counselor as such, as the world looks at that. I called you to preach my word. Amen. I'm not saying that there's not a place for some things out there, but I want us to know something. There is nothing that can change men's lives like the Word of God can. And when people come and they want counsel, are you not willing to counsel? But what are you counseling? You're pointing to the Word of God. You're pointing to something that has proven itself. When men come up with ideas and we're going to get in and work with this, and people year after year after year are going through this, when we bring them and point them to the Messiah, the Son of God, the one that came and was born and died on the cross and rose again the third day, when you place your faith in Him, you will find that there is a divine transformation that can take place in life, and that is what we're called to minister to. It's not called to minister men's wisdom, but it is the power of God that is still working today, 2,000 years later. Thank the Lord. The way of man leads to death. There's a way that seems right. There's a way that sounds is intellectually vogue in our world today. And so I have to sit back when we find the young people and those in the universities and the professors, they're pushing a certain way. I don't want to just blindly say, well, that's right. I want to step back and see, is this working? It's not working. It's not working. It's not where the answer is found. The answer is found in what Peter was talking about in this Jesus that we heard about and we read about, but I have seen Him. I saw this man, this man that said he was the Son of God. I saw him open blind eyes. I saw him raise the dead. I saw him deliver people from evil spirits. And I saw him die on the cross. But that's not all I saw. I saw him alive. I saw him raised again the third day. And we saw him and we were eyewitnesses of the power of the resurrection. So as he went and did his missionary work and he encouraged the saints, he let them know, I want to remind you that we're not following cunningly devised fables. When we've made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he went on to say, for we have received from God the Father honor and for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He was talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. When Peter was there and John and they were there and there was Jesus with Moses and Elias. And they were communing, and it got to that place that they said, it is good for us to be here. This is a good place to be. We're with Jesus, and we're with the Moses, who was the giver of the law, and we're with one of the chief prophets. It's a good place to be. Wouldn't you like to have been there? And so let's build three tabernacles, one to the prophets, one for the law, and one for Jesus. And God had something to say. He spoke out of heaven and he said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. And they fell. They had fallen down in fright before them. And when they lifted up their eyes, what did they see? They saw no man save Jesus only, because the answer was not found in the law. The answer to our problems is not found in the Mosaic Law. It's not found by the prophets alone, but it is found in Jesus Christ. And Peter said, I saw that happen. We heard God's voice speak out of heaven, and we saw his glory come upon him. And he said, hear ye him. May we open up our ears this morning and continue, you young folks here, as you continue to live life and make decisions, hear the voice of the Son of God. That's the answer to life. That's the answer. That is the way that we have to get to heaven. And people say, is this just another church among churches? Is this just another religion, another Christian group, another tradition? No, you get your eyes on Jesus Christ and hear what he says, and you will find that it works. It goes beyond what Dad said, and it goes beyond what Grandpa said. See, they laid a foundation. But when you become an eyewitness and you begin to apply your heart to the wisdom of the Word of God, you will find that it will work in your life. And you can with assurance and can with confidence go out into the world where people will scoff at you and people will question you and people will try to make you feel intellectually inferior because you are not embracing the new ideology of the day, and you can stand in humility and yet in confidence that I am following something that is real because it works. Thank the Lord for that this morning. Hear ye him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's the answer this morning. The Lord confirmed it. God confirmed it. And then he went on to say here, and a voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in that holy mount. And then Peter went on and said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We have a more sure word of prophecy. In the Greek, a little closer meaning would be, we have the word of prophecy more sure. We have it confirmed. Previously, we knew the sureness of it by faith. But today, we know it by experience. We heard about it. We read about it. But now we have seen it confirmed because we were eyewitnesses of it. In the days in the Old Testament, God sent the prophets. Did he not? To foretell the future events. And that's one of the things that is so unique about the Bible. It foretells so many specific events. It prophesied. It foretold. It told things that were to happen hundreds of years later, centuries of years later. It was prophesied that it was going to happen. And we can say, how did this actual book itself come together? Because this is a combination of a lot of books, isn't it? It's a combination of a lot of writing. I have to trust that the Lord was the one that God inspired and worked and orchestrated it, that this is what we have today. There are other good writings. There are other scrolls. There are other things we can read of the past. But I believe this morning that God allowed and orchestrated that this come together. And as we place, this is an expression of God's word. Anytime man touches something, they can be in error. And so sometimes there's words. This isn't in Greek and Hebrew. There can be words that aren't translated maybe as correctly as they could. Because that's man. But it is an expression of the Word of God that is forever settled in heaven. Because if we burn this book, where is the Word of God? It's in our hearts. It's still there. It still works. Whether we have an actual book with paper or electronic or however you do it, that can be passed away, but the Word of God, the truth of it, is enduring still today. And so we have a more sure word of prophecy. The scripture speaks very clearly about the coming of Jesus Christ. It speaks very clearly about the coming of Jesus Christ. And this is a more sure word of prophecy because those things were fulfilled. Every prophecy that was given of Christ was fulfilled. There's so many of them. Let's look at just a few of them. Somewhere around 500 BC, some of the greatest prophecies in the scripture are in the book of Daniel. But around 500 BC, the prophet Daniel proclaimed that Israel's long-awaited Messiah would begin his ministry in about 483 years after the issuing of the decree to restore the temple in Jerusalem. Well, he further predicted that the Messiah that came would be cut off or killed. You know, there is ample documentation this morning that shows that those prophecies were perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. When the Persian king Artaxerxes gave a declaration to the priest Ezra, 458 BC, it was 483 years later that the ministry of Jesus Christ began in Galilee. That was prophesied. We have a sure word of prophecy this morning. 700 BC, 700 years before Christ, the prophet Micah, and you can turn and read it, Micah 5:2, but he named that tiny little village called Bethlehem as the birthplace of Israel's Messiah. Although they didn't understand what all that Messiah encompassed, they didn't understand all that he was going to do. They didn't understand the fullness of the kingdom that he was coming to restore. It was prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. I don't know that there's much debate even today where Jesus Christ was born. He was born where? In Bethlehem, as it was prophesied. In the 5th century B.C., Zechariah declared that the Messiah would be betrayed for the price of a slave, 30 pieces of silver. And we turn and we find in history that we know how much Christ was betrayed for. It was 30 pieces of silver. That was prophesied hundreds of years. Was this happenstance? Was this just a random coincidence? You know, one time, possibly. But over and over and over, the scripture prophesied. King David and Zechariah both described Jesus' death. And they told how he was going to be put to death. He was going to be crucified. It was prophesied that Christ's garments would be parted. They would gamble over who got it. It was prophesied that his side would be pierced. It was prophesied that not one of his bones would be broken. And you know what history says? It happened just like it was prophesied. That was not happenstance. The prophecies of the rise, and this is going a little bit further, but the rise and the fall of the kingdoms there from Daniel 2, those were prophesied. The rise of the Medes and the Persians conquering the Babylonians, and then the Grecians, and then the Romans, that was very clearly prophesied in Daniel. How did that happen? It was because the Holy Spirit moved among men of old, holy men of old, and inspired them with truth that they were able to give prophecies. And those prophecies were like a time in the darkness where you light a candle or light a lamp, and there's enough light to walk by. It's enough light to illuminate the path in the darkness. And that's what prophecies are. But when the prophecy is fulfilled, it's very clear and it's all day, it's bright. And we can look back, even especially in Daniel and Revelation, at these prophecies that people have struggled. What does that mean? We can look back at secular history and measure it and see where the prophecies just lined up, just dot by dot. Every little thing that was prophesied, it's been coming to pass. And so when we look to things in the future, we have that ray of light showing us the way through the darkness. But as it is fulfilled, it's day and it's bright and it's clear. And that's what Peter was talking about. We have a more sure word of prophecy because we saw it come to pass. So take heed to the things that are yet to come to pass. Take heed to the things that are still being prophesied because it's real and it's true. Well, there's so many more prophecies of Christ that we could dwell on this morning. But there is, and many of you have probably read and heard, but in the 60s, Dr. Stoner, Peter Stoner, published by Moody Press, he put out some probabilities. And we're not going to go through those, but what is the probability of one of these prophecies being fulfilled? And so we went through and he came up with the statistics on what the probability would be of only eight of these prophecies being fulfilled in one man's life. So he took eight of the prophecies of Christ, figured out a statistical analysis, and this is what he came up with just eight prophecies, and there's a whole lot more than eight. He said it would be like taking a silver dollar, okay, and putting an X on it, marking it, and covering the state of Texas 2 feet deep with silver dollars, and putting a blindfold on a man and have him go out and just randomly pick up a silver dollar and finding that one with an X on it. You start looking, those of you that have done some statistical analysis will know that. You start measuring this out, one prophecy, okay, possibly. But we're talking about hundreds of years before it happened. And then two of them, three of them, four of them, 500, five of them, six of them. What it comes down to is this. It's impossible. It's impossible. There's no possibility of that happen unless it was divine. We have this morning a more sure word of prophecy. The world is trying to tear down the precepts of truth this morning. They're trying to undermine the very things that were prophesied that are so clear even in secular history. It doesn't have to have been written or recorded by a Christian that people would say, oh, they're just doing this to build their case. It's in secular history that these prophecies have come to pass. So how then can we lightly disregard the teachings of the Word of God? This is light this morning and it's life, and this is our hope and this is our foundation for why we believe what we believe and why we live like we live, because we have a more sure word of prophecy, and I thank God for it today. And it was for this reason. Remember the wise men when they came searching for Christ? How did they even know? How did they even know? They said, we have seen his star in the east and we're coming and we're trying to find the Messiah. How did they know about that? Where did they read about that? It was in the prophecies. They had studied the prophets and they knew this is the time, as Daniel talked about, as the prophets talked about, this is the time that the Messiah is going to be born and come to the world, and we are searching and we are looking for this Messiah. And so they went to Herod. They went to the palace there, and it's like, where is this Messiah? Where is this king? And so they called the rabbis and the priests, and Herod said, who are these men looking for? Someone's threatening my throne. I want to know who these men, this purported king that's born. Do you remember that those rabbis and priests and scholars, they had an answer? Where did they tell them? There's a child. It is prophesied that it is in Bethlehem, in Nazareth. There's this where this king is going to reside and is going to be. They knew because they had studied the Word of God. And we know that most likely as the wise men, it was not actually on the birth of Christ. They didn't go to the manger. It was after they came out of Egypt, 2 years probably. Jesus was somewhere in the range of 2 years old, give or take a few months. But they were searching for, and they knew where to go, and the scholars knew because of the prophecies. So where does that leave us today? We have a more sure word of prophecy. We are not building our faith on something that a group of holy men got together and put together this organization and these doctrinal set of beliefs. We believe what we do because it was established in the Word of God and it was proven by the prophecies. And there are some things that are still yet to come to pass today. There are still some things that have yet to come to pass, but they're going to happen. Just like he proved all of these other prophecies. And the Bible is true this morning. It's true. It works. It was prophesied. It came to pass. A more sure word of prophecy. And there are those that know the Bible is a reliable document. And so then can we ignore the coming events? Can we ignore the prophecies? Remember the disciples were there and they watched Jesus ascend to heaven. And they were there gazing and the angel of the Lord came and said, "Men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing at him?" And they told him something, said, "He's going to come back just like he's gone up. He's going to come back in that manner." Do you realize some of the few unfulfilled prophecies have to do with the coming back of Jesus Christ? And he is going to come back. He's going to come back in judgment. He's going to come back and take his children to be with him forevermore. Eternal life and eternal death. That's ahead of all of us this morning. How do we know that? This sure word of prophecy. Everything he said, it has come to pass and it was sure. It defied statistics and it came to pass. And so I know this morning, I know in whom I have believed. Thank the Lord. I know this morning because of what he has done, and it's fixed and it's sure. And he went on to talk about until the day dawn and that day star arise in your hearts. You see, there are still some areas that we have that light that's shining a pathway of the coming back of Jesus Christ, of the things that we maybe not fully understand yet, but we understand enough to know how God wants us to walk. But one of these days when the Lord comes back, we're going to see the fullness of the glory of Jesus Christ. We're going to see the glory of God, and it's going to be day, and every knee is going to do what? Every knee is going to bow and everybody is going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Everybody that has ever lived, because it's going to be daytime. It's going to be day and everybody is going to see Jesus Christ illuminated for who and what he is as the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginner and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. Everybody's going to see that. So how much better for us this morning to acknowledge that King of Kings, to acknowledge that, Lord, you are the author of my faith. And he's also going to be the end of it. It's all in Jesus Christ this morning. He is the way. I'm so thankful for that day star that has arisen in our hearts. And we know of a surety that Jesus lives today, not just because of the prophecies, but because we have experienced it in our heart and the prophecies just confirmed and back it up. So may we do as Peter said, take heed. Take heed to this word, because we are not this morning following fables, cunningly devised tales, but we have this morning a more sure word of prophecy, and I thank God for it. Amen.